Hello and welcome or welcome back to Sex, Scandals, and Shenanigans. My name is Adrian and I'll be your host. In this show, I discuss history's most notorious lovers and mistresses. And also, I think at this point, anybody who has major sex scandal throughout history, we've seen London, we're in France, we get to continue seeing sexy, sultry, and scandalous underpants. Today's episode will be focusing on Damsel Rouge, the Viscountess of Châteauroux, and her lover William the Ninth, the Count of Poitiers, and more importantly, the Duke of Aquitaine. As you can tell, we're still going to be in France, and now instead of being in the royal domain of France, we're going to be in Aquitaine. Aquitaine sounds familiar, doesn't it? It'll come to pass in the episode. One was a writer, the other a lover, but both were scandalous. Let's get to our definitions before we continue. Per Cambridge Dictionary, a mistress is a woman who has a sexual relationship over a long period of time with a man who is not her husband. Here's my contextual definition. A mistress is a woman who has a sexual relationship with a man, regardless of his marital state. One word I haven't used in a while is cicisbeo. Per dictionary.com, a cicisbeo is an Italian word or phrase for an escort or lover of a married woman. It's gonna get a little spicy in Aquitaine. Let's get started on Damsel Rouge's background, shall we? Damsel Rouge was born around 1079. She may have been born with the names of Almaburga, or Malbergon. Look, I'm trying, so bear with me. Her father was Bartholomew de Ile-Bouchard, and her mother was Gerberga of Blaison. As for her birthday, it was not recorded. Why? Well, she's a woman. Or, as Chi Fu from Mulan says,
she's a woman!
If we do not Margaret Beaufort her, Margaret Beaufort was married at 12, popped out her son Henry VII of England at age 13, we can surmise that she was married in her later teens or early 20s. Damsel Rouge married her husband Amory, Viscount of Châteauroux, prior to 1109. We can also deduce that they married prior to 1109 due to a charter being written on behalf of them. They made a donation to the Priory of Saint-Denis-de-Vaux. It was around this time that she was given the nickname of Damsel Rouge, which will be used throughout the episode, much easier to say. In Occitan, or at least the Occitan language, similar to Catalan, another romantic language, she was referred to as Dangerosa. I like the French version of Damsel Rouge, so again, that's what I'm sticking with. Contemporary sources describe Dangerosa or Damsel Rouge as I do what I want kind of person, or as Eric Cartman says,
whatever, I do what I want.
During Damsel Rouge and Amory's marriage, they had 5 children. Hugh, who was the heir to Amory, became the next Viscount of Châteauroux. He died before 1176. There was Raoul de Fay, married and became the Grand Seneschal of Aquitaine, died by 1190. Aynor, who married William X, Duke of Aquitaine, had issue. She was born in 1103 and died of March 1130. Amable, I'm trying here. She married Wulgrin II of Angoulême. Birth and death dates are unknown. And Aois, A-O-I-S, I'm trying here again, married Pierre-Élie de Chavigny. Birth and death dates, again, are unknown. Amory and Damsel Rouge were married for about 7 years before it broke down. I guess you can say she got her 7-year itch. The man who changed everything for Damsel Rouge and Amory and the political map of England and France, William the Ninth, Count of Poitiers, and Duke of Aquitaine, finally comes into the picture. We need to do a deep dive on him too. Allons! William was born on the 22nd of October 1071 in the Duchy of Aquitaine. The exact city is not known. His father was William VIII, Duke of Aquitaine, and Hildegard of Burgundy. By the time he was about 15, 16 years old, so around 1086, 1087, William IX followed his father as the next Duke of Aquitaine. Before his ascension to the duchy, there was some controversy regarding his birth. Like his son, in due time, William VIII had multiple marriages. William IX's mother was Hildegard, and she was William VIII's third wife. While William IX's birth was celebrated, because who isn't happy for the next generation or heir to spearhead the family, there were some issues. The main issue regarding William IX's birth was regarding his legitimacy. The Catholic Church did not initially recognize William X's birth due to his father's numerous and previous marriages. William VIII went to Rome in the early 1070s to gain papal recognition of William IX. William VIII was successful in his objective. In 1086, William VIII died and William IX became the next duke, as we explained earlier. Speaking of multiple marriages, there are some discrepancies as to how many times William IX had married himself. His first wife was Ermengarde of Anjou. She was the daughter of Fulk IV of Anjou. To learn more about him, please see the previous episode focusing on Bertrada de Montfort. William Ermengarde married in 1089. No issue came from this marriage. They were married for about 2 years. Their marriage was dissolved or annulled by 1091. According to contemporary sources, Ermengarde was beautiful but was known to have major mood swings. According to Wikipedia, yeah, I know. Ermengarde, vacillating between vivacity and sullenness, she would nag William. She would also have a habit of retiring with bad attitude and or in a major temper and cloister herself, thereby cutting off all contact with the outside world. She would then make a miraculous appearance and then pretend as if her little shit fit didn't happen. Now, granted, I'm not a mental health specialist. I don't even want to touch that. But based upon what I'm seeing or what I'm hearing about her, she sounds like she's bipolar. That's just my opinion. From the lack of children in this marriage, William repudiated her back to her father, Fulk IV of Anjou, and looked for a new wife. She married a couple of years later to Alan IV, Duke of Brittany, and from this marriage, she had 3 children. Conan III, heir to her husband as the next duke, Hawes, and Geoffrey. She'll reappear later. Speaking of second marriages, William needed to remarry to beget heirs for the dukedom. His next wife, Philippa of Toulouse. She was born in 1073, probably in the county of Toulouse. Sort of makes sense, right? Her parents were William IV and her mother was Emma of Mortain. Her father was the half-brother of William I of England. In or by 1094, Philippa was William IX of Aquitaine. It was another unhappy marriage for both of them, particularly Philippa. As noted regarding his marriage to Ermengarde of Anjou, current Duchess of Brittany, William had roving eyes that didn't always land on his wife. He had numerous affairs during their marriage. With William, Philippa bore 3 children. William X, heir to William IX, married Eleanor de Châteauroux and had issue, including Eleanor of Aquitaine, Petronilla of Aquitaine, and a son. There's also Raymond. He became the Prince of Antioch. Lastly, Agnes, who became the Queen of Aragon, not Aragorn. By 1095, William had invited Pope Urban II, who pushed for the First Crusade, by the way, for Christmas celebrations. Urban II pled with William to join the crusade. William didn't. William was more focused on trying to lay claim to the lands of his wife, Philippa of Toulouse. He wanted the land from her uncle, Raymond IV of Toulouse. He got the land. William then had a change of heart and change of mind and went on crusade in 1101. To finance this trip, William had to mortgage Toulouse. To whom? Raymond IV, his uncle-in-law. So much for gaining the land. He arrived to the Holy Land by September 1101. William's military leadership is nothing like that of William the Conqueror, as per 1066 in the Battle of Hastings. One recounting story was that William and his forces were suddenly defeated by the Seljuk Turks in Heraklea. He was so defeated that he barely escaped with his life and with 6 other survivors. He made it to Antioch and was able to get back to his duchy from there. He arrived back in Aquitaine probably around 1103-1104. What was William known for? Getting excommunicated. Silly Billy. Scandals are for dukes. To avoid excommunication on this first count, Philippa, his wife, was able to convince William to donate land and Poitou for religious community. The reason for this potential excommunication? Of course, taxes. I should clarify that he didn't pay his taxes to the church on time, and that's why he was threatened with excommunication. Speaking of another excommunication instance, it came when he abducted Donzel Roos from his vassal Amaury, Viscount Châteauroux. So the story goes that while touring Poitiers, William saw Donzel Roos and decided to kidnap her for, well, let's just say, medieval sex shenanigans. Side note, William was noted not just for his sex scandals, having a married woman as his mistress, but also after returning from the Crusades, became a noted poet and or troubadour. The poems he wrote were crude, full of innuendos, and one poem that was composed discussed opening a convent on his lands where the nuns were chosen due to their beauty, or even whores were chosen due to their beauty. If I can find that poem or song, I will put it into this episode. So let's get back to their sex scandals and shenanigans. William saw Donzel Roos and took her person via kidnapping to his ducal palace. However, Donzel Roos, as it has been noted, went with William willingly, or at least she participated in the farce of a kidnapping and then became his mistress. Keep in mind that Donzel Roos was married to Amaury, who was a vassal, William IX. So he essentially couldn't do anything against his liege lord. How convenient for William. Guess who was not happy about being publicly humiliated? Yep, Philippa, William's wife. According to William of Malmesbury, William built the Maubergon Tower for Dangerous. Furthermore, William IX had Dangerous's likeness painted on his war shield. Philippa was not thrilled about another woman living in her home. She tried reaching out to other friends at court in Paris and also from the Catholic Church. Her efforts were futile, as William was their overlord and could not put her husband in his place and evict Dangerous from her home. Shacked up in her towers with William as it is, with William, Dangerous bore him 3 children. Henri, who became a monk at the Prior of Cluny. Adelaide, she was born around 1102 and may have married Raoul de Fay, son of Anne-Marie and Dangerous, potentially. But that brings up another point. Maybe Adelaide was the daughter of Philippa and not Dangerous. It's not concrete. However, their last child was Sybil. Dates are unknown, but she did become an abbess of Saint. There's speculation that Raymond of Poitiers, uncle of Eleanor of Aquitaine, also known as Raymond of Antioch later on, was from William and Dangerous's relationship. Raymond wasn't listed as a legitimate son of William, so it can be speculated that he may have been part of William's illegitimate brood. Speaking of children, yet again, William's son and heir, William X, they were having a discord between them, and to resolve this issue, William ended up marrying Eleanor in 1121. So she was about 18. Remember when I mentioned that William was being chastised and excommunicated regarding his abduction and living situation with Dangerous? Well, Philippa, in her righteous anger, had the papal legate Giraud, who apparently had no hair and he was bald, approach and reproach William for his scandalous action. He basically asked that William put Dangerous to the side because he was sleeping with a married woman, particularly of one of his vassals, and he responded, "Curls will grow on your pate before I part with the Viscountess." Well, that settles that. Due to this pronouncement, Philippa threw in the towel, resigned herself to retirement at the Fontevraud Abbey in 1114. But wait, there's more. Remember Ermengarde, William's first but repudiated wife? She's back. Philippa and Ermengarde became nun besties at the Fontevraud Abbey. And y'all, Ermengarde created a fracas for her ex-husband. Philippa died in 1118, about 4 years after she went into retirement, from her socio-political life with William and his whatnots or his what's nots. Philippa was about 45 years old. In any case, Ermengarde, after learning what problems he created for Philippa, went to her ex-husband's court demanding that she be recognized, after how many years, as Duchess and be given her reinstatement right. Then, in 1119, Ermengarde went to the papal court of Pope Calixtus II, making demands that Willy be excommunicated, also removing Dangerous and be reinstated to her status as Duchess. Calixtus II politely declined, and I say that in quotes, to accommodate her requests. But this Dowager Duchess of Brittany, after her annulment and divorce from William, still bothered William to her dying day. Listeners, this is the medieval version of the First Wives Club with Bette Midler, Goldie Hawn, and Diane Keaton from 1996. This is the vibes that I'm getting from it. Well, I'm getting from Ermengarde. I know there's like a 900-year difference, but just hear me out. William IX is Bill Victor Gruber, who is married to Goldie Hawn. Ermengarde is Goldie Hawn getting revenge. Philippa was Stalker Channing, although she didn't die via suicide like the movie character, but still, she's out of the picture at this point. And Dangerous is Phoebe Lavelle, played by Elizabeth Berkley. This story is epic comedic gold. It is that good. All hail Queen Bette Midler and Goldie Hawn. Anyway, so Ermengarde decides to just fuck up William's life just for shits and giggles, and I'm here for it. By 1127, William IX has died. Ermengarde must have been myth that she wasn't able to irritate him any further. William was about 54, 55 years old. Ermengarde died in the 1140s, but she was busy in the 1120s and 30s. Ermengarde went to Jerusalem, where her half-brother, Fulk V of Anjou, became king of Jerusalem. She visited, established a church in Nablus, supposedly near Jacob's Well in Palestine, and also spent time at the convent at St. Anne's. By 1134, Ermengarde returned to Brittany. By 1146, she died as well. She died in Jerusalem, but had her body returned back to Brittany to be buried at the Redon Abbey in Ile-et-Vilaine. She was about 78 years old. Dangerous died in 1151. After William's death in 1127, it has been noted by ancestors.familysearch.org that Donald Roos died on or around the 7th of November, 1151, mostly around the age of 72. According to the same site, she was buried at Indre at Loire in France. I will say this, she lived long enough to see that her granddaughter, through her daughter Eleanor, become Queen of France. And that, of course, is Eleanor, Duchess of Aquitaine, in her own right. I want to briefly discuss how I came to this episode. When I first started writing this episode script, I thought I'd be doing more coverage on Donald Roos. I was wrong. Turns out, Silly Billy of Aquitaine was significantly more scandalous. He apparently enjoyed sex and got into many shenanigans. Here's a quick recap. He married Ermengarde of Anjou, no kids, emotionally unstable, and they divorced. But she came back with a vengeance. He married Philippa of Toulouse, unhappy marriage, again. Three recognized legitimate children, left court, came back to find another woman living in her home. Cried foul, rightfully so, and said fuck it. Moved to Fontevraud Abbey to retire as a nun. Died in 1118. Donald Roos. Probably the love of his life, saw, kidnapped, and sexed her up until 1127, told the papal legate that he, a bald man of course, was able to grow hair on his head, he still wouldn't give up the Viscountess. Also, Donald Roos left her husband after 7 years, after having three children with him, and then having, or five children, and then having another three with William. His son, her daughter, married, and they had three children, one who became queens of two countries, France and England. More to come on that one later. Nothing recorded after 1127 about her. She died in 1151. Ermengarde came back to avenge friend, who was wife number two, Philippa of Toulouse, tried to get reinstated, but to no avail, and even got cock-blocked by the Pope. Okay, that was just a recap of his relationships. Now, I did say that I wanted to talk about William's troubadour and poems and songs, and I think this is the best time to go over that. Additionally, he did not wield a sword very well, but apparently he knew how to wield a quill. William, though also the Duke of Aquitaine, was also known as the Troubadour Duke. I'm going to do my best to recite one of his poems, so please bear with me. Also, trigger warning for some language. I'll write a verse since I'm dozing off, and I move, though motionless under the sun. There are malicious women, and I'll tell you of which ones, those who take a knightly's love badly. A woman is not in mortal sin if she loves a loyal knight, but if she loves a monk or priest, it's evil. She should rightfully burn on a stake. In Auvergne, around Limoges, I was going alone and incognito. I found the wife of Sir Gori and Sir Bernard. They greeted me simply by the name of Saint Leonard. One told me her tongue, God save you, Sir Pilgrim, and certainly look of high status, in my opinion, but we see so many fools going around the world. And hear what I answered. I didn't say ah nor bah, neither did I mention iron nor wood, but only as much as barbriol, barbriol, barbarian. So Dame Agnes told Dame Ermison, we have found what we were looking for. Sister, by all means, let's host him, since he is dumb, and nobody will know our purpose for him. One took me under her cape and led me into the room by the hearth, and know that I appreciated it, and the fire was good, and I warmed myself gladly with those large cinders. And then they fed me capons, and know that I had more than two, and there were neither a cook nor kitchen boys, but only we three. And bread, and the bread was white, the wine was good, and the pepper abundant. Sister, if this man is playing it dumb, and refrains from speaking for our sake, let's bring him in our red cat right away. It will make speak immediately if he deceives us in any way. Agnes went, fetched the bothersome thing, and it was big and had long whiskers, and I, as I saw it among us, was so afraid of it that I almost lost heart and lust. When we had drunk and eaten, I had stripped myself naked for their sake. They brought in, from behind, the cat, which was mean and treacherous. One spread it from the ribcage down to the heels. Suddenly, she pulled the cat by the tail and it scratched. They gave me more than 100 sores that time, but I wouldn't have budged, even if they had killed me. Thereafter, Dame Agnes told Dame Ermison, he is dumb, it is clear. Sister, let us get ready for merriment and pleasure. I lingered 41 days that way. You shall hear how much I fucked them. 188 times, so much that they almost broke my equipment and my tool. And I can't describe the aching, so much I was taken. Monet, you shall go in the morning, bringing my verse in your purse, straight to the wife of Sir Gawri and that of and Sir Bernard, and tell them, for the love of me, to kill the cat. We can certainly say that William was being very cheeky with his poems. Unfortunately, I couldn't find the one about the nun, the pretty nuns that I was talking about earlier, so I went with this one instead. Since we're talking about his writings, since we also know that he was a failure at military aspects and as a leader, one scribe who wrote a vita about him, just a short little biography, described him thusly. The Count of Poitiers was one of the most courtly men in the world and one of the greatest deceivers of women. He was a fine knight at arms, not really, liberal in his womanizing, and a fine composer and singer of songs. He traveled the world seducing women. This is quite the description of William. This excerpt comes from the Vita, like I said, a brief biographical work about William from the 13th century. So, to conclude, was William a Chisipeo for Dangerous? I would certainly say yes. He was her notorious troubadour lover. And was Dangerous a mistress? Of course, that was blatantly clear from the get-go. She willingly left her husband after 7 years for a duke and had a family with him. And he built her own set of towers at his ducal residence. So yes, they both meet their definitions of a chisabeo, or a gallant, or lover of a married woman, and that of a mistress. So thank you for coming and joining me on this wildly and sexually charged story. 7 year itches, kidnapping, consanguinity, which will come up later, marriages between their children. Oh my! Thank you again for joining me on today's episode. Another fantastically sexy story will come your way. Maybe Henri or Henry I of England? Anyway, try not to get into any shenanigans yourself, as I just may end up telling your story. If you'd like to reach out to the show, my email is sexscandalshenaniganspod@gmail.com, and my show's website is sexscandalshenanigans.my.canva.site. This show is recorded, edited, and written by me, Adrian. Show artwork is from Jan Steen's A Girl Eating Oysters, and the music is provided by the Advent Chamber Orchestra, Vivaldi's Concerto for Two Violins in A Minor, RV 522, provided by museopen.org. Until next time, bye!